It's the Dr. Bill Deagle Show, presented by NutraMedical.com. Call live 818-818-6401.
And we are back with Harley Schlanger, all the way from Germany, from the Rouge Foundation. And Harley, you've got lots of stories, I guess. The meeting in the G20 was kind of interesting because Trump did things that the globalists, both on the left and right, probably didn't like. Give us your analysis. Yes, indeed. Waiting for Harley Schlanger. Are you there? I hear. Boop, boop. Yeah. I guess we'll see if we can reconnect with Harley on Skype, because we're connecting to Harley to Skype all the way to Nazi Germany, and to Nazi Germany, to Reform Germany, to left and right Germany, to East and West Germany. Harley has always had some amazing analyses, and I think what you're seeing is Trump is working out at actually creating a dialogue with Russia and China, and I believe he is going to probably, within the next few months, by the fall, have a trade agreement. In fact, I think he's called off the latest tariffs on China, which is a really good sign. He's also talked to I guess he was lobbied by the chip companies to not to block the sale of chips to Huawei, the microchip company, because he knew that they would be excluded from the very rapid advancement of chips worldwide, which would hurt American business. But at the same time, we're probably going to get intellectual property protection. We're probably going to have American and European contributions to the Belt and Road system, which isn't just a social expansion. Yeah, Harley, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Good. We have a good connection now. Why don't you give us analysis of your viewpoints of Trump's amazing performance at the G20 this, which, of course, you're not going to hear any kudos from CNN, MSNBC, and the other what we call hate Trump media. What do you think is going on?
Well, I know what's going on. What happened is that shortly after the Mueller report came out, Trump felt free to pursue his initial intention of forming cooperative, beneficial, mutually beneficial relations with Russia and China in particular, but also to expand the efforts to achieve settlement on the Korean Peninsula, also work out problems with Iran, Ukraine, and Syria and elsewhere. And so he had a series of phone calls, first with Putin, then with Xi Jinping, which were quite extensive. The Putin phone call was 90 minutes. And this is one that made everyone extremely uneasy, because the line is that Putin interfered in the 2016 election, that he's going to do it again, that he's an authoritarian dictator who murders people, and you know all the lies that come out, which originate initially with British intelligence and then are picked up by the U.S. mainstream media.
Right.
Trump doesn't believe it. He doesn't believe it. He thinks Putin is actually a very shrewd operator who's working on behalf of his nation's interests. And Trump believes that a lot of the interests of Russia and the United States are compatible and the two should be working together. So long before the Osaka summit, a strategy was laid out between Trump and Putin, Trump and Xi Jinping, Trump and Prime Minister Abe from Japan, President Moon Jae-in from South Korea. And so before the Osaka summit, there was just an incredible amount of activity. Xi Jinping went to Pyongyang to meet with Kim Jong-un. There was a lengthy meeting between Xi and Putin in Moscow, and then they went to the St. Petersburg International Economic Forum together. And by the way, there were 1,800 American businessmen at the St. Petersburg International Economic Forum, even though we still have sanctions against Russian companies. Clearly, Trump gave the go-ahead to American firms to go there and meet with the Russians, with the idea being that those sanctions will soon be gone. So when they got to Osaka, you already had a very extensive diplomatic, you might say, presidential diplomacy underway. And once the summit started, I should tell you, the G20 summit itself was a complete bust. There was no real discussion, as in the case of most of these international forums. They're dominated by useless and corrupt institutions like the IMF, the World Bank, the World Trade Organization, and so on, Paris climate concerns, and so on.
Right.
But on the sidelines, Trump had a fairly extensive meeting with Putin, which opened with a joke when a reporter said, "Are you going to tell Putin not to interfere in U.S. elections?" And Trump turned to Putin and wagged a finger at him and said, "Don't interfere in our elections." And then Trump smiled, and when it was translated, Putin broke into a chuckle. In their discussion, they talked about resolving Ukraine, and Trump agreed with Putin that the Minsk Accord is the key, which so far Ukraine's government has refused to abide by. They talked about Syria, joint collaboration to finish off the remaining pockets of terrorism there. They talked about Iran, and Trump wanted to know what Putin thought could be done to resolve the situation peacefully. They talked about Venezuela. And at the end, the two of them had a short press statement in which they both said, this was very good exchange of ideas, and we're looking forward to cooperation. And Trump said, "Look, Putin's a great guy. We had a great meeting, and I'm looking forward to great things." Then he went from that meeting to dinner with Xi Jinping, and we still don't know officially what happened at that dinner, but they had their full summit the next day. And afterwards, as you reported at the beginning, there were agreements made to reopen the trade negotiations. Xi Jinping said that as an offering to the United States, China will buy a significantly increased amount of American agricultural products, which Trump was very thankful for. Trump lifted some of the ban on Huawei, largely because American firms went to Trump and said, "Look, we're hurting ourselves by not participating with them." And then they also talked about Xi Jinping's meeting with Kim Jong-un. There were, at the same time, there's a meeting between Putin, Xi, and Modi, the Indian prime minister. And then Abe was meeting with virtually everyone, the Japanese prime minister. Now, the next day, Trump went to South Korea, and he had a meeting scheduled with President Moon, who had just met with Kim a week earlier. And so Trump had tweeted right after the meeting with Xi to Kim, "Why don't we meet in the demilitarized zone?" And to a lot of people's surprise, Kim said, "Sure, let's do it." And so with everyone caught off guard, and by the way, John Bolton was sent to Mongolia, so he was nowhere near the meeting. We don't know. Maybe he was playing John Bolton of Arabia or something in the Mongolian desert, but he was nowhere in place to sabotage the meeting. Trump had an excellent meeting with Kim, a very good meeting then, where Kim joined Trump and Moon. The Korean Singapore spirit is back and has been revived. And while all this was going on, what are the Democrats saying? Trump likes authoritarians. Trump likes dictators. Trump shouldn't embrace killers like Kim. The Washington Post said Trump is giving legitimacy to Kim's government. Well, one country doesn't give legitimacy to another country's government. Its people give that legitimacy. And who is the Washington Post to comment? The Washington Post is essentially an outpost of Amazon and the CIA right now.
Right.
So I think what we saw was the tables turned. Trump showed, as Helga Zeppler-Ruse showed, commented, that when Trump is free to act on his own, he makes good decisions.
Right.
And that's what he did on this trip. It shook up the Democrats. It shook up the foreign policy establishment. He was greeted with wild enthusiasm in the North Korean press. And I think around the world, there was a real appreciation for what he did. Now, Bill, let me just add one other point to this whole picture. While this is going on, the European Union, the bureaucrats who control the European Council, were trying to select new leaders. And their first group of leaders that were selected were unanimously rejected by the members of the EU. So then Merkel came up with a compromise slate, which included Christine Lagarde, the head of the International Monetary Fund, to take over the European Central Bank, and she may be rejected again. And then Ursula von der Leyen, this crazy defense minister in Germany, was selected to become the president of the European Council. So the EU is just thrashing around in its death throes, while outside of the transatlantic region, Trump was having a ball with Putin, Xi, Modi, Abe, you know, people who represent the majority of the world's population and increasingly the largest portion of the world's GDP.
Right. See, what I see happening is I'm pretty sure by the fall he's going to close the gap in terms of a trade agreement with Russia and China. The militarization side of the equation is going to destabilize, which means he's going to probably get a deal with Kim to get on-the-ground verification of constructing the nuclear issues there. He's going to probably get an agreement with Putin that will actually get him to actually get his proxy, Cuba, to pull out their troops supporting Maduro in Venezuela, so that situation will stabilize. The Chinese will probably pull their troops out of Venezuela as well, as they see a trade agreement with things like the Huawei agreement, where they can purchase chips from American suppliers, and the trade tariffs are going to be taken off. The main thing America wants, and again, the list is actually relatively short. We want respect, which means we don't want you to manufacture our products when you go to China after hours. We want protection of our patents, and we want to make sure you don't send inferior products to us from China. Or we also want to encourage companies that are transnational. Remember, at least a third of the investors in these big investment companies, we don't want to be moving U.S. corporations off of American soil to Mexico or China. We want to see that companies will stay primarily in America. And that fact, China should be investing in companies manufacturing in America.
Well, and Bill, let me say...
by the way, Chinese goods, because remember, the number of engineers in China is enormous. So they actually have a potential to actually invest into America too, right? Go ahead.
A significant point on that is that this is not something the Chinese are doing. This is something the Americans have done. This is something U.S. corporations have done under the trade agreements that were negotiated by Bush and Obama.
Right.
And Trump is clear on this. Trump said Xi Jinping is a great guy. He's a great friend. I have tremendous respect for him. He said some of the things that the Chinese have done have done, which led to the increased trade deficit that we have with China, was the fault of the American governments. And we're going to straighten that out. And he said, I don't blame China for that. And he said, China has been more than accommodating in discussing these things.
Right.
Now, the key thing for Trump to secure these agreements is he's got to get rid of the neocons around him, which include Bolton, Pompeo. It also includes Peter Navarro, his anti-China trade negotiator. Peter Navarro is someone who will not acknowledge that China has made significant changes on intellectual property agreements and so on.
Right.
So Trump has a problem inside his own administration, but he outflanked it. This is what makes him so effective, is that he's willing to break with his own advisors.
He needs to do some firing, just like he should have fired Sessions right away when he realized he wasn't doing things right. He needs to get rid of Mr. Ray at the FBI. He needs to get rid of Bolton, probably get rid of Pompeo, make sure whoever he appoints over at the United Nations is reasonable and going to cooperate. Deals, and I said, both has a carrot and a stick. I mean, Trump is a master at pivoting with a carrot and a stick. And I think he's going to get agreements, and he's going to get deals that no other president has ever gotten for America, isn't he? 30 seconds to break, and we will be back in a moment with Harley Schlanger. Very important information. Again, if you go to our website, we have links to LaRouchePac, LaRouchePac.com, and LaRouchePub.com. These articles are amazing, and videos. You need to know this is a perspective that will stabilize the world for trade, not war. Back in a moment.
have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutritious meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
Legacy Emergency Foods is the top recommendation from Dr. Bill Deagle. For the lowest oxygen concentration, the largest entrees, the highest amount of protein, the most varied entrees as well, and the longest food storage life. Nothing like Legacy Emergency Foods, and if you place a regular monthly order, you get 20% off and free shipping. Do get Emergency Foods for your supply for preparation, and get it from Legacy Foods. Contact Dr. Bill Deagle for the link at NutraMedical.com. Go to the Shop by Products link and drop-down message at NutraMedical.com, and then place your orders for regular emergency food for yourself and your family. Nothing like emergency food if the power goes out and you can't go to grocery stores, or if there's an emergency or a national crisis. So NutraMedical.com, top recommendation, Legacy Foods. NutraMedical.com, go to the Shop by Products and drop-down menu, and stay well with NutraMedical every day of your life. Lumen Photon Therapy, infrared light, far and near infrared, is extremely important for pain control, stimulation of nitric oxide, improved perfusion, and stem cell activation and reduction of cytokines. Dr. Bill uses it for pain control, for regeneration techniques, for organ regeneration, and for stimulation of your stem cell activity. This is amazing. Lumen Photon Therapy this year will probably have an additional device with frequency therapy during the on phase of the lights. To obtain a Lumen Photon machine, contact Dr. Bill at NutraMedical.com, 888-212-8871. He'll prescribe it with you, providing nutraceuticals to help with your regeneration, healing, and pain control. Nothing like the Lumen Photon Therapy for easy therapy for your eyes, your pain, your joints, regeneration of organs, detoxification of the body. Get a Lumen Photon machine from Dr. Bill Deagle, NutraMedical.com, 888-212-8871. Stay well with NutraMedical. The Sonic Life Machine is one of the most amazing therapies that Dr. Bill provides. It is the best sine wave exercise machine on the planet, doing whole body vibration, opening up the muscle to reduce insulin resistance, improve perfusion, release stem cell therapies throughout the body, and epigenetically stimulate the body to release DNA activated. The epigenetic therapy with the sine wave curve of frequencies given for atomic resonance, but Linus Pauling for minerals and amino acids, stimulates the production of messenger RNA to correct structural protein enzyme deficiency for almost every illness. There's nothing like the sine wave therapy for improving body healing for exercise, but also the epigenetic treatments Dr. Bill can provide can help neutralize frequencies for disease states and illness. Get a Sonic Life machine through Dr. Bill Deagle at NutraMedical.com. Contact us at NutraMedical.com, 888-212-8871, or go to the website NutraMedical and give us a contact. Dr. Bill is available to help you get well with NutraMedical.
Need a powerful ally to fight daily bugs and serious pathogens? Allicin Med is the powerful universal pathogen killer's latest advance of German-sourced allicin, enzymatically stabilized to clear the body of bacteria, fungi, mycobacteria, and parasites. It penetrates body biofilms and is non-toxic to tissues. Pathogen resistance cannot develop for long-term body-optimized wellness. Clear stealth pathogens that promote autoimmune disease, cancer, and vascular inflammation and plaque and promote healing of tissues. Now pathogen-free. With 200 milligrams more power than prior Alamed, you can't get a more powerful ally to fight daily bugs and serious pathogens. Give your body what it needs. Allicin Med. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutridyne at 888-212-8871 or NutraMedical.com. That's 1-888-212-8871 or NutraMedical.com. And listen to the NutraMedical Report on the Genesis Radio Network with open lines every weekday. NutraMedical.com, bringing nutrition and medicine together.
You know, I hear alternative media sometimes thinks that Trump has caved to China and the G20 in Osaka. And I'm thinking, where do these people get this? You know, why do they make these kind of wild statements when they realize that if we at the if the SIA, which is the chip industry, if you will call bloggers, the people that actually push the chip industry in America, Semiconductor Industry Association, is pushing something that's good for business, and Trump does it, he can still maintain controls so that they can't hack in and have a backdoor to American intel agencies or people's cell phones. And we can actually be, instead of being short-sighted, when I see the comments made even against Trump by even the alternative media, I think, where did they get this? They're obviously not with it. no, obviously...
I can tell you where some of it comes from.
Yeah.
There's a very serious amount of money behind Steve Bannon right now. And Bannon, of course, had a lot of money initially from the Mercer family when he was initially supporting Ted Cruz. And he came over to Trump, and he basically claims that he's the one who came up with the election strategy, which is not true. The election strategy for Trump was largely the result of long collaboration between Trump and one of his closest friends, Roger Stone, who's a bit of a political genius.
Right.
But Bannon has always been anti-China, and he's working with the Committee on the Present Danger, China, which is a bunch of old neocons headed by a guy named Frank Gaffney. Now, Frank Gaffney is an old George Herbert Walker Bush crony going back to the mid-1980s when Bush was involved in trying to run a kind of a coup against Ronald Reagan in opposition to Reagan's Strategic Defense Initiative policy.
Right.
You know, the idea that George Bush Sr. was a loyalist to Reagan is a lot of nonsense. Remember, he ran against Reagan in 1980, and I can tell your listeners something very interesting about the 1980 Republican campaign. There was a debate in New Hampshire when the New Hampshire primary, 2 weeks before the New Hampshire primary. Remember, Bush won the Iowa caucuses in 1980. He defeated Reagan. And a lot of media was saying Reagan is finished. Now, Lyndon LaRouche and Reagan met in, and there's a famous picture of the two of them together at a debate in New Hampshire right after the Iowa caucus. And Reagan was very interested in what LaRouche was saying, and LaRouche told him we would get him a leaflet we were putting up. We put out a leaflet that said, if you like Jimmy Carter, you'll love George Bush. And the Reagan campaign asked if they could buy the property rights to that leaflet so they could use it. And, of course, we got it out in New Hampshire, but they got it out in Florida, South Carolina, and some of the next primaries, and it devastated Bush. Now, Reagan's LaRouche's appeal to Reagan was that Reagan was very much interested in how new technologies can transform strategic relations. And that was where the germ of the idea for the Strategic Defense Initiative was presented to Reagan at that one rally in New Hampshire. Now, what's interesting is that Bush had a whole crew of people, including Elliot Abrams, who recently was brought in by Bolton on the Venezuela situation, Frank Gaffney and others, who were just Cold War military-industrial complex lunatics, whose careers depended on getting contracts for defense production, for think tanks that were promoting war, and so on.
Right.
And these are the people who have been trying to sabotage Reagan, Trump, using the Russiagate story as a basis for coming in and saying, look, Trump, if you don't want to appear to be a Putin puppet, better hire us.
Right. Yeah. If you want to change some Russian and Chinese behavior, that can be included as part of the negotiations. For example, we have some of our tech companies. I think one of the tech companies associated with Google is actually helping to do social media rating of all the Chinese citizens. If you want to open up things so that they don't end up having ridiculous agreements with corporations that want to move to China for business, reformulate how that agreement should be so that they don't take over the patents or start manufacturing them after hours or steal the patented upgraded. These are all things that can be negotiated, and I honestly think Trump's making, he's actually acting as a businessman that wants eventually a deal. You mean he's a master of the deal making, isn't he?
Well, Bill, as you know, the Chinese have gone a long way from where they were 20 years ago when they were pirating our technology. But most of that pirating occurred with at least some minimal cooperation from the U.S. firms.
Of course it did.
They were over there trying to take advantage of the cheap labor and cheap raw materials. Now, what the Chinese did was what any country has done in the past. We used to do that back when we were trying to become an industrial power, manufacturing power. But what's interesting is that, as you point out also, China developed their own university system. They took advantage of the opportunity to send Chinese students to places like Rice University in Texas or MIT or Cal Poly. And they developed their own scientific capabilities so that it became not only unnecessary to copy U.S. technology, but they leapfrogged over us in certain areas.
Well, for example, they took Bombardier of Quebec and the rail line systems of the high-speed rail in Europe, and their engineers advanced it, so they're now going about 90 kilometers faster, and they repatented it. So people need to understand the fastest high-speed rail trains in the world and safest are Chinese, and ideally, if they're trying to build high-speed rail in America, excuse me, they should contact the Chinese and have their engineers train our engineers and our people to build high-speed rail in America based on Chinese advanced more patents. And again, the same thing goes, they want to control things like AI. Well, AI is going to happen one way or the other. And their version of AI is to have coders code and AI systems and talk to each other, which unfortunately is going to take over a lot of blue-collar and white-collar jobs. But it's going to happen. We have to control that. It's like controlling an explosion. And we need to collaborate with countries like China, not kind of dismiss it. But also, at the same time, we can use it properly so we can recycle everything. We have no pollution. We can change the idea of what an economy is, for example. I think that one of the comments made by one of the candidates, the only Asian on the Democratic thing, I don't believe in raising the minimum wage. I believe that we need to actually top up wages of people already in a job. So instead of telling the employer, like a small business, to increase the minimum wage, we need to top it up so they have a living wage. You've got to restore families. And the key thing, I think, is employed people need to make enough money to afford a home, food, and health care, and make them more affordable. Don't have a socialist top-down control system. Make them affordable so everybody can afford to have good food and a roof over their head, and let's say one income is enough to support a family.
And that, Bill, this is how you know that the Chinese have abandoned old-fashioned Marxist communism,
right?
Because they're developing a middle class.
Right.
Xi Jinping has said that by 2020, China will have a middle class of 300 million people, in addition to lifting 800 million people out of poverty in the last 20 years. Now, the remarkable thing is if you think about a 300 million middle class population,
right,
that's almost the size of the entire United States. And what we're seeing in the United States is a decline in the purchasing power of the middle class. We've seen, going back to the period leading up to 2008, but especially after the crash of 2008, a tremendous decline in what used to be considered middle class in this country, people who live paycheck to paycheck.
Well, that can be fixed by several things. Firstly, here in California, for example, the regulations for building homes is ridiculous. We need to have a system also where some people think that just raising taxes like crazy, like some of the Democrats, without fixing the system. For example, if they want to have health care for people who don't have insurance, do things like I recommend, which is pay doctors an hourly wage and nurses, so it's income neutral. Tell the insurance carriers you can stay in business, but you're not going to be using a fee-for-service system anymore, so it cuts their costs a lot. Get rid of malpractice and go to mediation and training and monitoring. Go to a transparency, so a hospital in one place 20 miles away doesn't charge 300% more. Have a system set up so that you have integrative care, where if the doctor is not being monitored by state licensing authority because you get rid of them, and you have doctors can provide innovative care at a fraction of the cost. If we do this, it's going to be affordable for everyone. The same thing as the right to try bill that Trump put forward. We need to have the ability to not persecute nutritional companies, including the Intel agencies like Google and Facebook now, are saying they're going to remove alternative and integrative medicine from their websites, because they know a lot of times we have alternatives that are be a fraction of the cost. The same thing with home building homes. There should be no people that are homeless. There should be nobody that's mentally ill in the streets. They should be in mental institutions or external homes where they're for the mentally ill. And we shouldn't be giving needle programs to people that are drug addicts. We should have a drug rehab program. The problem is, you see, we haven't put people and families first, which I think, honestly, this is where I see a great deal of both the Democrats and Republicans failing. For example, when we look at the illegals coming up here, they're coming up for three reasons. They're coming up because our narco states are being run by local narco people that are in collaboration with our intel agencies. Number two, they can't make a decent enough income, because I guarantee you in El Salvador or Guatemala, if they can make enough money and eat good food, they'd let us stay with their relatives in their home country. And number three, we need to make sure we have educational assistance so these people can actually come, instead of with grammar school, maybe have a apprenticeship program so they can learn skill sets to actually be able to support industry in their local country, like, you know, learning how to do electrical work or other things, so they actually have skill sets. I think we can use logical things, and these are tied to Belt and Road, I think. Belt and Road isn't just a road system and a communication system. It's a way of helping and pulling up other countries so they don't want to immigrate to America because they're so desperate because of the narco state or poor economy. I think that if you use common sense and decency, human beings in every country could be safe, including in China, so they won't be forced to have an abortion if they're the third pregnancy or become under citizens because they're raided by the state, which I honestly think our trade agreements can be part of the reformation of the internal behavior of China.
Well, Bill, let me just say a couple of things on that, which is let's start with the most important one, which is that we just celebrated a day ago the 4th of July.
Right.
The American fight against being a colony. And in China, the mentality of the present leadership is shaped by what they call the Great Disgrace, the period of 200 years when China was largely under the control of the British Empire. And the Chinese have a real sense of the importance of the something Trump talks about all the time, national sovereignty. Now, what you just said about families, this is what Putin brought up in his famous interview with the Financial Times the other day, where he talked about the collapse of liberalism. Now, what he means by liberalism and what Trump mean by liberalism is basically the same thing. It's not just the old idea of a liberal as someone who's pro-civil rights or pro-tolerance. Liberalism today is where the individual's personal pleasure takes precedence over what's needed for a nation and what's needed for a family.
Right.
And this is what Putin and Trump object to, this idea that people like Ocasio-Cortez and the British Adam Smith Society basically say nothing should get in the way of an individual's right to his own pleasure. And this is part of the degeneration of societies.
Right.
This is how you brainwash people to say, well, look, you may not have much money, but here, go smoke this new marijuana or take cocaine or drink a lot of alcohol.
It's like the movie, it's like the Soma, and I think the movie 1984 in the book. You know, it's to try to keep people in an altered state so that they won't resist totalitarian control by... And we don't want to call it the left or the right. We'll just call it the globalist control freaks. You know?
It's not left or right. It's not socialist or fascist.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's just totalitarianism. Let's call it what it is. Right? Think Amazing Harley. We'll be back in a moment with the next segment. Amazing information. Again, go to LaRouchePAC.com. By the way, the sale is on. For Liberty is the code LIBERTY. Save 7% on all of our NutriMeds and Lumen Photon. Right now to the 9th midnight.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria, from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
Red Deer Velvet DR is an amazing new product with a patent to preserve 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones, same as fetal life, where you don't age at all. The state of fetal life allows the 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones produced by the placenta to be supportive of the regeneration of tissues and organs, with maximum apoptosis changing the tissue and organ structure of a fetus. That's why if fetal surgery is performed, there is no scar. Taking 2 to 3 capsules twice a day with oncomycin, MycoD2, provides an amazing support for regeneration of any tissue and organ in the body, and even advanced stem cell therapy support treatment. Do get NutriMedical's Red Deer Velvet DR from Dr. Bill Deagle at NutriMedical.com, NutriMedical.com, 888-212-8871. Stay well and stay young with NutriMedical. Hi, I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, AAEM, ACAM, A4M, of NutriMedical.com, and a consultant providing email advice free on advanced protocols for your optimized wellness and advanced technologies to heal and regenerate you. You can contact us at NutriMedical.com, that's NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. You get free email starter protocols of our top medical-grade nutraceuticals, initial testing, and recommendations for your own primary doctor to do, as well as recommendations to give you an idea of a consultation and a full protocol to try to help you regenerate your tissues, heal naturally without the use of toxic polypharmacy. I can send test kits to you as well anywhere in the world and provide you recommendations for referral of specialty clinics worldwide. So contact me, Dr. Bill Deagle, at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com or 888-212-8871. At NutriMedical.com, we have the most amazing drinks with the best mouthfeel, highest quality bionutrient exposure to your body to heal and regenerate, and the most powerful persistence of nutrients to heal your body dramatically. We have Ageless, which makes you age less, which repairs your DNA, extends your telomeres, etc. We have Life Support that detoxes phase 2 detox pathways, glucuronidation, sulfation, and methylation pathway support. We have Glycemics that blocks the carbohydrate absorption and helps with diabetes or weight loss, and as well helps with people that are trying to build up muscle, using things like our special formulas from Dr. Wolf called Mega Muscles between meals along with Sports Energy Light. We have the amazing NutriComplete, the most complete red and greens drink in the world, with the best mouthfeel and flavor. You can often mix it, too, with Vitamin Mineral Mix, which is our fruit-flavored mix power of vitamin minerals. Stay well with NutriMedical every day.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an end.
And welcome back. The next area I want to talk about is the impending danger. If we don't come to some kind of trade agreements and supportive families, not just here, but in families in the Central America and around the world, that we're going to have some serious problems, aren't we? And I don't think people realize that that's what's happening right now, that we can't really tolerate a situation that allows the deterioration of other countries, and that part of the solution is actually the Belt and Road. And also the idea that we can have collaboration in a defensive Earth strategy. For example, we have the grave danger that we can have earthquakes. We had an earthquake here in Northern California, 6.4. We had one up in Victoria, British Columbia. We also had earthquake activity and volcanism in Indonesia. We have a danger of a coronal mass ejection because of solar studies, and I have some experts coming on the program, Dr. Ben Davidson and others, Robert Felix, that because we are in a solar minimum, we're actually very much likelihood to have a coronal mass ejection like the Carrington event of 1859. We have an approaching Apophis asteroid heading towards in less than 10 years in April 2029. We have changes in glioclimatic changes that are not just, quote, due to us. The idea that the human being generated carbon dioxide is causing the climate changes is insanity. And we need to start having a defensive strategy with all the scientists of all the countries working how to stabilize the ecosphere from whatever changes are occurring and preventing earthquakes and pre-diagnosing them and blocking them. We have technology. We could do that. But the problem I see is it's going to require global collaboration for a defensive Earth strategy to stave the ecosphere and the human population and to get clean energy like tokamak fusion reactors. The Chinese announced 5 years ago they were going to sign 3,500 scientists, and the Chinese plan on mining helium-3 from the moon to make fusion reactors. And I would make a bet, you know, although we've had the technology 60 years, the Chinese are publicly going to start not only manufacturing these but actually exporting to countries like Europe when they finally start doing moon explorations and mining. And I guarantee it'll happen in the next 5 years. The Chinese are not going to just wait or sit away in some classified cupboard. They're actually going to do it, aren't they?
I think what we're seeing is a shift to what Mrs. LaRouche has been calling the new paradigm. And the whole idea of the new paradigm, if you think about the old paradigm as the post-war British-dominated financial system.
Right.
And, you know, some other, maybe next week we can talk a little bit about why the Franklin Roosevelt New Bretton Woods system was sabotaged by John Maynard Keynes and the British.
Right.
So we never really had the Bretton Woods that Roosevelt wanted. But it had certain features that allowed for manufacturing investment, at least in the advanced countries. That ended with Nixon's decision to take the dollar off gold and to end fixed exchange rates on August 15th, 1971. Now, that decision was an economic decision, but it's had an enormous impact on what you were just talking about, the dissolution of families, the breakdown of productive employment, where
that's why the same illnesses are happening in the rural areas of America as it happens in the inner city, because the breakdown of the family and the removal of men from the household and the loss of their income. For example, when men make less than women, women don't marry them, and families don't exist, and you have more out-of-wedlock children. I mean, these are all the exact same things happening that the inner city happened in the 1980s are happening in rural areas now, and the same processes are happening. The destabilization of the family, the removal of men from the household, the removal of jobs that pay a decent wage. That's why I believe topping up the wage to a decent living wage, based on the analysis of the local area, is essential to maintain the family. We aren't working on that, neither the Democrats nor Republicans.
This is why we're losing not just the middle class, but we're losing a work ethic.
Exactly.
And hopelessness
of the young, too, that want to think just the nanny state will take care of them. No. The movement, the communists are actually reforming beyond communism, aren't they? They're realizing the communism of Karl Marx won't work in China. And it has never worked in Russia. And
well, it didn't work at all because it was based on a certain fallacy, which is that you do need to have an emphasis on this idea of the human creative potential, and that that's not something you can stamp out in a machine.
Well, no one is created equal. I mean, I'm not equal to some master football player or martial artist, but on the intellectual level, I have my talents. And one of the big faults of socialism and communism and totalitarian regimes is it tries to make everyone equal, and we're not. We're equal in the value of the Most High God, but we're not made equal. And in fact, that's what happens to creative abilities, sports abilities, physical persistence, all kinds of things are totally unequal. And that's what's important also between men and women. Women should never be put in combat situations. I think it's an obscenity, don't you?
Well, To go back to the point you were making, if you assume that you can convince people that they're never going to achieve anything beyond a certain level,
right,
then they're not even going to achieve that level, because
right,
they're going to assume that there's no incentive for them to do anything.
I heard a joke about one of my Russian friends years ago that worked at Storage Tech, and he used to work in the Russian Navy, a nuclear Navy. He said, and he was from Belarus, and he says, in the Soviet Union, we pretend to work and they pretend to pay us. That's so funny.
But it's a true characterization of the failure of a system,
right?
Which was not primarily a Russian system.
No, it's a fallacy that was the librarian Karl Marx who thought this up from the British Library.
Yeah, the Library of the British Museum.
Right,
and it was funded by a German industrialist named Friedrich Engels.
Right.
Now, the important thing, though, is that Russia is no longer communist.
Right.
It has a small communist party, which makes a lot of noise once in a while, but it has no power. In China, the communist party has essentially become a Chinese Confucian party, using the old philosophy, reviving the philosophy of Confucius, who had much in common with Plato, and what they call socialism with Chinese characteristics is the idea that they're not going to let people starve, they're not going to let people have failed lives, but they're going to do everything possible, including with their young Muslim population that's being recruited to terrorism, they're going to give them an alternative, which includes education and job training. And this is something that people like Mike Pence and Pompeo are calling concentration camps. They're taking young Muslims who are being recruited in mosques in Xinjiang province to become terrorists. That's southwest China.
Right.
And they're pulling them out of those mosques and sending them to schools where they actually can learn Chinese and learn skills. And many of them are becoming successfully integrated into the society. They're not being...
Yeah, they're becoming plumbers and electricians and people to put power lines up and whatever, right?
Yeah. And, you know, what do we do... for example, in Britain, we allow the mosques to recruit.
Right, and we do the same thing in America. By the way, 72% of the mosques actually preach terrorism against America and American citizens, and we tolerate it. Why? Why? Why don't we actually try to actually make an American version of Islam that doesn't follow every word of the Hadith and the Quran and suggest that maybe the religion can advance, just like Catholicism can advance after they killed the Albigensians a number of centuries ago, thinking they were apostates. Catholicism advanced, and so did Christianity, right?
There are a lot of Muslims in the United States who are Americans and who are very accommodating to the American way of life.
Well, they're very accommodating to the idea if we help them, so we can have an American version of Islam that's no longer violent and dangerous to the actual culture and the Constitution. But right now, we're not doing that. We're actually balkanizing and amplifying the differences too, right?
Well, and it's worse in England, where you have several mosques that are well known that are recruiting grounds for terrorists.
Right.
And there's something like 10,000 Europeans who at one point, and this includes second or third generation Muslims, it's not
right.
just normal people, but many of them, their parents were not Muslim fundamentalists, but for lack of work, lack of ambition, and for a number of other reasons, they found peer acceptance by becoming terrorists, and they were then sent to work with ISIS and Al-Qaeda, and now they're returning to Europe. And in some cases, they're going through a screening process, in other cases, they're not. And this is a potentially dangerous situation because the European economy has now officially again gone to zero growth.
Right.
The last two quarters, there's been negative growth in the European economy. The German economy is now completely stagnant. We're seeing lack of investment. We're seeing growth in debt, government debt, but more importantly, personal debt, state
right.
debt. You know, in parts of eastern Germany, they can't fix the roads anymore.
Right.
Because the states don't have money. Berlin, there are parts of Berlin that are falling apart. You know, if you get a strong wind and a tree gets knocked down, it will shut down rail traffic. And without rail traffic, the highways are impassable.
Right.
So you have...
Yeah, but you have to have a vision. You know, it says in the Bible, my people perish for lack of vision. You have to envision what it is for the human race in the future. For example, we are about to leap off planet Earth and start terraforming Titan, the moon of Jupiter, and terraforming Mars. We're about to become basically a solar system and galactic civilization. We're about to actually harness AI in limitless amounts of energy and the ability to use our imaginations to create a whole new world and start to literally have high-speed transport across the cosmos for trade across planets to become inhabited by us and allies. And we're eventually going to contact other civilizations of other beings across this cosmos, because I'm certain we're not alone. The problem is we're not prepared for that. We're not prepared for a future where mankind has a completely different future.
We're not even prepared for people to talk to each other. I mean, given the social networking, you see kids sitting on a bench 3 feet apart texting each other or Instagramming.
Well, I see the dehumanization of humans and families. And I see the removal of men, for example, from the family because they make a lower income now, where their before well-paid blue-collar jobs are disappearing because 60,000 factories have moved overseas. This is a part of the obscenity of both parties. Both Democrats and Republicans haven't supported the family. I saw a special on Tucker Carlson last night talking about this, and he's been on it for some time. I agree with Tucker. I agree so with some of the people. Even Elizabeth Warren made a statement about the idea of supporting the families. Now, of course, she has some other strange ideas that I don't agree with. But the problem is, unless the parties get back to their original objective of not just families here in America, but families in Mexico, families in Central America, families in Afghanistan. My daughter had, when we were back in Eastern Canada 12 years ago, she had two friends that were little tiny children that were like small for size because they were starving for years. But they were from Afghanistan. Their father was a Taliban. He was killed. The mother immigrated to Canada. It's a horrendous situation around the world. And in many, many countries around the world, it's desperation. That's why they did a poll and 271 million people want to immigrate to America thinking it's better. Well, America, I think, in some ways is improved economically for some classes. But I think overall, I think the average middle and lower income family is actually suffering more and has to have multiple jobs. And that one income we used to support a family back in the 50s can't do it now.
Well, Bill, let me just quickly say, Executive Intelligence Review is putting out a special report this week called The U.S. Economy Never Recovered from 2008, and it makes these points in great detail.
Right.
And I think it's important people should realize that the cover-up is not being done by Trump. It's being done by the Federal Reserve. It's being done by the mainstream media. It's being done by the billionaire swindlers who made fortunes after 2008.
Yeah, the corporate amalgamators that make money, people like our Mormon senator, right?
Like Bezos.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, he's got a personal wealth that's beyond that of some nations.
Exactly. Again, these guys are, by the way, tied to the intel agencies, too. Thank you, Harley. Amazing show. We'll see you next week. Enjoy the rest of the holiday weekend.
Okay.
We'll be back in a moment with Dr. Betty Martinez. The sale is on. The code is Liberty. Get your NutriMeds and your Lumen Photon today. We'll ship it right away.
It's last call to do your shopping at the last mall.